Recently, I sent a video to the elder trainees. We're not actually actively in training. They're on a break right now. We'll pick it back up in February with phase two. All last year was phase one, the theology phase, and they're doing wonderful. Thank you for praying for these brothers and supporting them. I sent them a video, and it was of a Roman Catholic priest who was defending the false doctrine, which that particular church, call it that, has taught for a long, 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 long time. The false doctrine this priest was defending was justification by grace and works, or by grace plus works. He argued quite persuasively, actually, that salvation is a combination of God's grace in Christ and our good works. And so I asked the elder trainees to identify his error. And it wasn't really easy because he was very, very polished. He made a really good argument. Now, I haven't had any opportunity to discuss it with them in any detail, so I'm about to give them a huge cheat sheet. Confusing, and some of you need this. In fact, I would say all of us need it to be reminded. Confusing the doctrines of justification and sanctification is the classic error of Roman Catholicism. And it will lead you astray in what matters most, the matter of how a sinner is put right before a holy God. That's what the doctrine of justification is about. How is a sinner put right or made righteous with God, before God? Because only the righteous could possibly inherit everlasting life with God. He is perfect and holy and righteous. So how does that happen? How is a sinner, Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, sinners who are dead in their trespasses and sins, how is that sinner made alive in Christ? That's all of these things are kind of under the umbrella term of salvation. Many times preachers aren't the best at clarifying our terms, and we ought to be more careful. Sometimes we just say the word salvation. We don't tell you what specifically we have in mind. Salvation in the Bible is more of an umbrella term that describes the whole process, the whole enterprise of God saving sinners from their sin, delivering them from the guilt and the shame and the condemnation that they have rightly earned by their nature and by their choice, right? And so that underneath that umbrella, there are a lot of other doctrines that the Bible talks about and teaches us about. But in justification, a sinner is declared to be righteous before God when that sinner repents of sin and trusts in Jesus Christ alone. And that's all grace, Ephesians 2 tells us. It's all of grace, saved by grace through faith. A sinner is absolved and pardoned from guilt and condemnation of sin as that sinner trusts the finished work of Jesus, period. There are many texts that teach this in the Scriptures with crystal clarity. Our text is one of them, perhaps one of the more powerful ones. Here's the point of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10. Everything about salvation is grounded in God's grace. Everything. Right? I told you salvation in the Bible is kind of like a whole umbrella term. It talks about the whole process or the whole enterprise of God delivering sinners from their sins and making them right with Himself. Everything about salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 teaches us, is grace. It's all of God's grace. I could get technical. I'm not going to do that today, but I like doing that. Those of you who've been with me a while know I don't mind getting technical, but Grace is the source, that's the point being made, of anything that has anything to do with a sinner being saved, including, this text says, faith. So if you read the first seven verses of Ephesians 2, you pick up the argument that God has been saying sinners are dead spiritually. When they're lost, unsaved, unchristian condition, dead in our trespasses and sins, hopelessly, helplessly lost. And God in His great mercy and His love makes us alive together with Christ, verse 4. God does this. And so we're saved by grace through a faith union with Christ, you see. Made alive together with Christ. This is new birth, regeneration language. And verses 8 and 9 begin to hammer home this truth that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith, even, is grounded in grace. It's a gift of God. Repentance is too. It's not explicitly mentioned in this text, but Acts 11, 2 Timothy 2, for example, say repentance is a gift of God. You see the point? Everything about salvation is grace. It's a gift of God, unmerited. That's what grace means, unmerited favor. Some people, I like it, will use grace as kind of an acrostic and say God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Grace in Christ. There's only one proper object of saving faith, and it is Jesus, period. Everything about salvation is of grace. It's a gift of God. It's given to sinners. R.C. Sproul used to say that faith, saving faith, is that empty cup which comes to God and God pours Christ into it. Isn't that a sweet picture? We sang, "Nothing in my hand I bring." Saving faith, you see, does not originate with us. That's why it's called a gift. Philippians will say this as well when we start our series in Philippians next week. It doesn't originate with us. In our state of spiritual death, how in the world would we ever conjure up saving faith in Jesus Christ? We got to be made alive together in Christ, you see. And when you're made alive, those first fruits of God's regenerating new birth grace is repentance of sin and faith in Christ. They're the first fruits. And then that life of grace is always demonstrated through ongoing faith in Christ, ongoing repentance. It's not a one-time deal. Right, Christian? You don't get to go live however you want. Oh, I said I believed and I was baptized. Now I'll just go live in sin. No, no, no. No grace has actually ever invaded your life, if that's your attitude, if that's your action. Grace, saving grace, is life transformative. Life transformative, you see. Sinners don't have, in their lost state, in their spiritually dead state, they don't have a spark of faith that merely God needs to blow on to get it to flame up. That's not what Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says. Or Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Definitely not what it says. Sinners are not drowning and need God to throw them a life preserver. Sinners in their lost state are doing the dead man's float. And Jesus, by His blood on the cross, swims out. Tows the sinner to shore. A corpse, and gives them life. Salvation is life from the dead. How could then it not be of grace? It has to be from the life-giving God of grace. I hope you're following this. The first fruits of saving grace, faith in Jesus Christ, turning from sin and trusting Him. There are other texts. If I had more time, I want to get to our members' meeting, but I'll just tell you about these texts that reinforce this critical truth. There are a lot. I'm just giving you a few here. So if you went and you read the comments of Jesus in Luke 18, 9 through 14, the publican, the tax collector, and then the Pharisee praying outside the temple, right? And the one who goes away justified, declared right in God's eyes, is the one who simply calls out for God's mercy, grace. I got nothing, he says. I just need grace. So Jesus taught this clearly. Jesus repeatedly told people, your faith has saved you, right? Not your works. The works would be evidence of faith. That's where I'm headed next. Luke 18, 9 through 14, Acts 18, 27 says that the believers in a certain town had through grace believed. That's an important phrase, isn't it? Through grace they believed. See, it's all of grace. That's one of several places where that language is used. Romans 4, 13 through 17 says that God has designed salvation to be by faith alone in Christ alone, so that it will be founded and grounded in grace alone. Go read it and see if I'm right or wrong. But that's exactly, explicitly what Romans 4, 13 through 17 teaches. Romans 11, 1 through 6 says grace. It's either grace or works, but it can't be both. Go read it and see if I made that up. Romans 11, 1 through 6. There's a remnant, Paul says, of Israel still saved by grace. It is not of works. If it is, he says, then it cannot be of grace. You can't have your cake and eat it too, Roman Catholicism. The Word of God in Romans 11 forbids it. Philippians 3, as we're going to see when we get into Philippians, Paul says, I don't have a righteousness. I don't have it. He says, I was blameless according to the law. I mean, think of that audacious statement. He's like, look, he's basically saying there was no one more zealous for obeying the law than me. And then he says, but I've come to realize, well, that was nothing but a dung heap. Isaiah 64 would say that was nothing but dirty underwear, dirty undergarments before God. I needed the righteousness of Christ, he says, that comes by faith. So I'm setting you up with this little sermonette for Philippians in months ahead, weeks and months ahead. Now, when you're saved, when grace takes root, I need to hurry and get to this, but where saving faith takes root by grace, it always bears fruit by grace. The reformers did not teach that faith that saves is faith that is alone. They said you're saved by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, but they did not say that that faith was alone. They taught what the Bible teaches, that when God saves a sinner, he transforms the sinner, and that sinner begins to walk in the good works that he has before ordained. That's verse 10 of our text. We are his workmanship. You see that? He's the potter, we're the clay, we're his poem. We get our word poem from the Greek word there, workmanship. We are his poem, his love letter, his work of art. Created in Christ Jesus. See, that's a God work, God's grace. God creates us new in Christ Jesus to do good works. The works are the evidence, the fruit. You're saved by grace. Everything that has anything to do with salvation, election, effectual calling, conversion, repentance, faith, you go down the list, adoption, justification, glorification, grace, all grace, all grace. Sometimes I've heard people lean into the error, even well-meaning Baptists like myself will start to act like we're sanctified by our works. No, your works are evidence you're being sanctified. You see, that's what Ephesians 2:10 says. The fruit comes from the root. Jesus taught this repeatedly. And so I don't want this church, I don't want my listeners to get this confused. I don't want you to raise your children confused about this. You can be cautious about leading your children, making sure they get to a point where they really have been rooted in the gospel and you're seeing evidence and fruit before you begin to talk to them and allow pastors to talk about baptism, I strongly recommend that. I'm not a guy who says throw caution to the wind in these things, okay? But make sure, parents, you don't confuse your kids and make them think they got to clean their life up first before they can profess faith and be baptized. That's heresy. That's not the gospel. Jesus cleans you up. Jesus saves you from your sin. Sometimes Christians who are making a profession, but they're nervous about baptism, will say, "But I want more assurance." Okay, that's not a wrong inclination, but be careful, because as long as you continue to disobey the command of God to repent and be baptized and to submit to the church, you should not have any assurance. You don't get assurance by disobedience. You wonder why you can't get assurance, but you won't submit to baptism and the church. Well, that's why you don't have any assurance. You can't get assurance by continuing to live in disobedience. Where grace takes root, grace produces fruit. Amen? If you're unclear on this, let me spend a little more time with you and get you into some more text. God saves us by grace. He sanctifies us by grace. He will glorify us by grace, all because of who Jesus is and what he has done. God's grace is the cause. The effect is the obedience of faith. Cause and effect, don't confuse them. We clear? If you're not, again, let some pastors help you. Let us get in there and help you, especially if you're dealing with children and or young men and women. We want to help you lead them well, okay? Are you saved by grace? Have you been changed? Have you been given a new heart and the Holy Spirit invaded your life and made you a totally different person? Do you hate sin? Are you growing in your hatred of sin and your love of God and His Word? Are you growing in your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ? These are fruits. These are evidence. Are you seeing more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more long-suffering, the things our pastor prayed? Are you saved by grace through faith? Then you know where your boasting has to be. Paul says, God forbid, in Galatians, he says, God forbid I boast, save in the cross of Christ. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you. God, we praise you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, for your grace that saves us from our sins, that awakens us from our spiritual death and slumber to our need of Jesus, that grants us the gift of repentance, faith in Jesus Christ, and that then conforms us to the image of Christ and guarantees we'll be glorified with Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We boast only in your grace, in your work.